You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Oh, Eric D. Snyder and Jeff Bayer. They'll see all the movies to tell you which you should watch later. You have seen as many movies as these two. So they'll know the right way to steer you. Movie BS is what I suggest when you're planning a cinema night.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder. Over there is Jeff Bayer, my co-host.
Hi, everybody. I am Jeff Bayer. I'm the co-host of Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder. That was Eric D. Snyder, and away we go.
We're brought to you by OneOfUs.net, by the way, in case you were wondering who was bringing us to you.
Yeah, it's them. Thanks,
yeah.
Them.
Yeah, you guys. Every single show we've done, this is episode 357.
And 357. Ooh, some odds.
For some
357.
Yes, very good. Those are all odd numbers.
Thank you. All prime numbers too.
Yeah. Ooh.
Is this the first episode? No.
356 episodes, we've begun by reading an iTunes review. So we're going to do that now on this show as well.
And the way that we do that is Eric reads an all-time radio voice.
This review is by someone named The Stud 53.
Oh, there was 52 studs before this guy?
Yeah, you're not really the stud if you're the 53rd one, but
maybe he's the stud that is 53 years old. Maybe there's only one stud that's that old.
Maybe. I don't know what kind of rules they have on creating your iTunes username.
The first question is normally, are you a stud?
Right.
And then it's yes or no. And then it's like, well, now we got to figure out what we should call you.
He says, after years of buying newspapers for the sole purpose of reading the movie reviews, I finally found movie reviews on the internet. From what I can tell, these two are the first and only guys to venture into this territory of internet movie reviews. I would fact check this, but I don't care if I'm wrong, so why bother? This duo is quite entertaining with their banter and informative with their insights. A marker of a particularly good episode is a mention, or even an appearance, by Cat Dog, or is it Dog Cat? It's Dog Cat. Like, what kind of cat is he? He's a dog cat. House cat, tom cat, alley cat, dog cat. I'm not going to explain it again. Either way, it's great. In addition to being entertaining, my taste in movies aligns with Jeff's fairly well, so I get a good barometer of if I'll enjoy the movies they discuss. Keep up the good work, guys, and thank you very much. No, thank you very much, The Stud 53.
Thank you, I was about to call him Stud 53. And that
That's somebody else.
But yeah. No, I know.
Yes, thank you for that review.
Have you ever noticed sometimes sincerity just oozes out of every pore of your body?
That was
one of those times, Eric.
You know what, though? That was sincere. I do thank him for the review. The problem is that sometimes my sincerity doesn't sound sincere.
I am agreeing with you.
Yeah, but it was completely sincere. Of course, I thank you for the review. It's a very nice review. I'm glad you listened to the show. We read it. You know, good stuff. Thank you. Thanks a lot. See, that's insincere. First up, let's review a movie.
King Arthur, : Legend of the Sword.
King Arthur's : Legend of the Sword.
It's how he wields it.
Colon blow. Guy Ritchie directed and co-wrote this. And Guy Ritchie.
Let's go back. Let's go backward.
He seems to have the reputation of kind of a meathead, kind of bro, doofus filmmaker. But he's mostly made movies that I liked. Okay.
I liked The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, I never saw
it.
I liked it.
Wait, I thought you watched it with me. No? All right. I really liked Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I don't care what people say. Mm-hmm. I liked Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I kind of liked Rock'n'Rolla, and it looked like it was going to be a continuation thing, and I was more excited about the next installment, and I felt like I got through that one. I can't remember Revolver at all. It's Jason Statham with hair.
I probably saw that one.
I don't know. Swept Away was not good.
Swept Away was very bad.
That's Madonna's fault.
We're not blaming him. Well, I mean, he did direct it.
Probably not.
It takes two to tango. And then Snatch was great. Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrels, fine. Good stuff.
It was good stuff. Like, overall, this is a guy who makes movies that I'm going to have fun with.
Yeah.
And along comes King Arthur.
I've generally... both the Sherlock Holmeses were B-minuses for me. His movies tend to be really fun to a point and then kind of exhausting for me. Okay. But overall, I like him. Overall, just fine. King Arthur really helped me boil down what it is that Guy Ritchie is Michael Bay if Michael Bay had a sense of humor. If Michael Bay had a sense of humor and weren't a dumb guy,
and
he'd be Guy Ritchie.
And was able to properly time out the delivery of lines.
That's what I mean by a sense of humor.
I know timing is a lot about it, but there's pep. Yeah. There's pep with dialogue, and Bay has never really had that quality.
Michael Bay is a dumb guy. I just want to be clear. Michael Bay is he's actually a dumb man. I don't know if he's not as dumb as Trump, obviously, because no one is. But he would be up there among the dumb, unintelligent people.
If you could grab a handful of dumb, you would find him in your hand.
He'd Michael Bay, yeah, probably so. Yeah, you'd have some Michael Bay in your fingers. Yeah. Guy Ritchie, not as dumb.
No, not dumb. So the movie starts with like a giant elephant and a superhero played by Eric Bana.
Before the title, before the credits, it's this big, massive battle. There's giant elephants and Eric Bana being awesome. Eric Bana, it turns out, plays Arthur's father, whose name is Uther Pendragon.
I will say this about the movie. Just like totally lost on names the entire time. I don't know what names they're saying or pronouncing. It's just impossible for me.
Here's what it always sounds like. Whatever.
Yep.
Here we go.
And what is Bana's, the king's last name again?
Uther Pendragon.
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 Pendragon. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
So this is all before the credits. This guy is Uther, and he's got the special sword.
No, there's also a little conflict going on with his brother, Voldemort. Was it Voldemort Jude Law plays?
Vortigern.
Vortigern. There's a little conflict going on, a little trying to grab some power. Who really wants to be king?
You know how brothers are with who's supposed to be king and all that.
Yeah.
So then get to the point, and this version of King Arthur is not king yet, and he's a street urchin. He's an orphan raised in a brothel by prostitutes.
Just a perfect montage. Just exactly as much for me to be like, okay, yep, I'm rooting for the kid. Yep, I know he has street skills. Right. I got it all. And on the other hand, here's Jude Law growing in power. Got it.
The basic idea of what is supposed to be expressed is expressed through competence on the part of the filmmakers. They have, they do a good job.
With a montage. Let's just get it going. Right.
Yeah, right.
And then it stops for a second. And adult Arthur gets out of bed. And his back is to us.
Charlie Hunnam is the actor.
Yes. And on his back, it looks like his back muscles are more like a jetpack or something. Mm-hmm. These back muscles, I don't know if I've actually seen these back muscles before on an actor. Like, there's some times where you're just like, oh my God, Chris Evans, look at that arm when he's like trying to Captain America
in
a helicopter. Blah, blah, blah. This is one of those moments where I'm like, what? Men can actually have this muscle?
Yeah, well, men can. Yeah.
Right. Real.
It's pretty clear. I sat next to this movie. You are gay for King Arthur. You're totally gay for King Arthur.
I am
for
a sucker.
For the guy and for the movie.
No, see, this is the thing. I've only liked Charlie with the TV show Undeclared. It's the only time that I've liked this actor,
I
never watched the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Never watched it, so I understand that he could be very good in that. But Pacific Rim, blah 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 blah.
He was always one of those that I get mixed up with a couple other actors.
Yes, you could just replace him with here's body of let young
me,
man.
Let me name two movies that you were not going to remember that he was in. Crimson Peak. I'll give you another one. Pacific Rim.
Well, that I just said. No.
And you remember that he was in it?
Yeah.
Children of Men.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. I think I've only seen Children of Men once. That's a rewatch.
Well,
I need to rewatch.
Sucks to be you. The point is, he's King Arthur, and he grew up as a street urchin, street smart, and he's good at little pickpocket, and just a good.
And he's a bit of a leader of a gang.
And if you got to remember, it's like 700 AD in not even London, Londinium. They hadn't even settled on the name of London yet. And yeah. What happens then is there's. I don't really even understand all the business with the sword, but the sword comes up. The point of it, because we don't need to, like, the movie is 2 hours long, and we don't need to, like, spend 2 hours telling you everything that happens in the movie. But the gist of it is that King Jude Law, Vortigern, he knows that there's a prophecy or whatever about one person who can take the sword out of the stone, and that person is supposed to be the king. And so he wants to find whoever that might be and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like King Herod and the babies after Jesus was born, and go, all right, go kill all the babies so we can't do it. It's like that.
Yes. Well, and there's even there's even some imagery that they like. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to think of that. And it cuts to the chase really well, almost surprisingly. There's times in this movie where you're just like, okay, I'm just watching really cool set pieces that take a long time, and then when they're done, they realize that was just really cool and it didn't necessarily move the plot forward, but bam, here's this guy and he's doing this right now. There's a couple of times where you're like, what? This event in this movie is already happening? Whether we want to talk about the sword, whether we want to talk about like King Arthur and Jude Law almost being in the same room at the same time. Like, there's some things that just feel weird. Coincidence.
Here's what I almost called him Michael Bay. This is one of his Michael Bay tendencies. But what Guy Ritchie – he has this annoying fondness for skipping past a scene, like hurrying through something or just skipping past it, only to then hop back later and have someone fill us in on what happened.
Right.
Which could be effective sometimes, but he does this a lot, to where it became funny to me that we would suddenly we're about to do something and now we're somewhere else. I'm like, oh, I guess they did that. And then here comes someone to explain. We'll see some flashbacks of what happened. It's almost like he's so eager to get to the next scene that he can't wait to tell the details. And then remembers, oh yeah, I have to give the details. Okay, here's what happened. And
The nice thing is, in the meantime, whether it's a chase, whether it's this or that, the action, I think, looks really good and is really engaging and fun.
And it's not chaotic. You can see what's going on, which is thing that Guy Ritchie is very good at that Michael Bay is not.
That's right. And Jude Law is appropriately creepy at times, and he's got to do some soul searching in what he wants and what he's willing to give up for his power.
King Vortigern, there's mages. There is magic and dark magic involved, and Jude Law has got some kind of deal going on with, like, I don't know if this comes from the King Arthur legend, some with this big fat sea witch octopus, Ursula the Sea Witch kind of character, helping him have eternal life or whatever. And then there's a couple other crazy things where Arthur has to go on a quest up a mountain that involves fighting. There's like river rats, these big old river rats, and what other animals were in there?
You know Luke Skywalker had to go in the cave and deal with imaginary Darth Vader? This is probably what George Lucas wishes that could have been, because it's insanity. And it's fun, but you're just like, what?
And it's
what? Okay, cool, sure, whatever.
And it's for me, it's bizarre enough to be intriguing, but it's not so crazy that it's like over the top laughable. It's just sort of like, oh, well, that's weird. All right.
That's in this world,
it's
too.
It's a very pleasant, very amiable insanity to the story. Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that a lot was cut out. I feel like there was probably even more crazy stuff.
It could be,
They trimmed down. I like that the dialogue and everything is anachronistic and sarcastic, and, you know, not at all the way people talked 1,400 years ago. And the movie is fine with that. The movie doesn't care. Somebody keeps asking somebody questions, and he goes, "What are you writing, a book?" Which, like, that kind of sarcasm, anachronistic. Books? Nobody wrote a book in 600. No. That makes no sense at all. But you go with it because, all right, this is the attitude.
Yeah, and it's not in the exact same way that it's done in Ant-Man. But remember in Ant-Man they had the, telling the story of what happened, like, that you were even referring to, but in a very clever way with Michael Pena, like, talking for everybody.
Yeah.
This has a lot of, like, the flashback when they do have to tell the story of what happened. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of storytelling elements within that are very peppy and fun, in my opinion.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, and I love the music. But this has to be the same guy that did the Sherlock Holmes stuff. I've always liked that stuff, and
I do like
it sounds really good.
The music, a lot of it also is anachronistic. It's not quite What was that movie?
A Knight's Tale.
It's not quite that.
Nope. That's what I thought, too, though.
Not quite that.
It's bordering. It's on the border. It's relative. Maybe a second cousin.
It's not over the top. It's almost near the top.
Yeah.
I unironically and unashamedly enjoy this. I feel like it's excessive, but it's the right kind of excessive. And I think some people would really not like this and think that this is everything that's like roll your eyes wrong with big blockbusters, and I get that. For me, it hit me in the right way, and I think it's kind of the fun, respectable version of that kind of summertime silliness. And
I completely agree with that.
I give King Arthur: Legend of the Sword a B.
I give it a 7. It's a solid 7, and I would happily sit through it again.
And now another movie that is out this week called Snatched. It's for Mother's Day. It's a mother-daughter movie, yeah?
It is
no accident it's being released Mother's Day weekend. I wouldn't take my personal mother to see this movie.
But you'd take somebody else's mom?
I would take your mom, yeah.
So we got... I don't know if my mom would want to sit through this movie. We have Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer as the mother-daughter, Linda and Emily Middleton, and Amy Schumer's playing a stretch here. She's an arrogant alcoholic that doesn't give much thought to other people.
She's directionless and selfish, and yeah.
It is weird how it's like the word you would describe to use her is train wreck. She's a bit of a train wreck in this movie.
She's a bad person, and her boyfriend dumps her just as they were about to go on a trip to South America, but the tickets are non-refundable. So, and I like, that's funny to me that that's what gets mom to go. Because let me tell you something. Apart from, I actually wrote et cetera in my notes. You know, Amy Schumer's character is directionless, et cetera. You know the type. Her mom is fearful, locks all the doors, calls on the phone to say, hey, there was a bank heist in Delaware, so you should be careful in New York. That kind of mom, et cetera. But she goes because the tickets are non-refundable. So it's mother-daughter to Ecuador, of all places.
Takes a little long to get there, but... You know, it's stuff happening.
It's divided. The movie is 90 minutes long. It's divided into thirds. A third of the movie is when they get snatched. The movie is called Snatched, and there's title cards at the beginning tell us that someone gets kidnapped. So it's not a spoiler. And then that's at 30 minutes. Then at 60 minutes is where the mother daughter start to turn on each other and have their internal conflict, which they must resolve. And then it's all resolved. It's a very template formula. Put this here and this there and this there and down the line, which isn't a good thing or a bad thing, just a thing. Katie Dippold wrote it. She wrote The Heat. And
honestly, this movie had me thinking about The Heat a good bit.
She was The Heat, and then also I think one of the writers for Ghostbusters last year. So she's been around. And a couple things that I especially like about the story here. First of all, though the mother and daughter get kidnapped, they also quickly escape, and then it's more that they're being chased. I mean, there's two different kinds of movies, and this is the more palatable kind. You got the kind where some people, women, are kidnapped and held in the room somewhere, and now they're hostages. And you got the kind where they're just on the run. On the run is a lot less stressful, a lot more lends itself to comedy more. We can relax more with this story than with them being locked up somewhere, tied up, and being menaced. You know what I mean? I was worried it was going to be too much of that. And it's hard to enjoy, but they're on the run and everything, and they're running from drug lords, I guess. I think it's always drug lords in South America. Are there no other kinds of bad guys in South America?
I don't think so. Oh no, are these human traffickers? I think these are human traffickers.
Oh, maybe they are human traffickers. Well, I take it back then.
Or maybe they're just like getting. I don't know.
They're bad guys anyway.
Yeah, they're bad.
And Amy Schumer keeps accidentally killing them.
It's like the 1980s. The bad guys are just bad.
They're just bad. Just take a word for it. They're bad. They have South American accents.
Yeah. You know what's weird for me? The interaction, the quiet moments of dialogue between Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn are not the best thing about this movie. That was a surprise for me that their back and forth, their repertoire, was not the thing, the juice that kept this movie flowing.
It seems like it's going to be this duo movie, Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer. Mother-daughter, which is great casting. That's great. But thinking about it, I don't think this was written This wasn't written like The Heat to be a duo of two people both being funny, working off each other. It's more written to be, it's written for Amy Schumer and then whoever plays her mom. It's written to be this, it's about this character. And so that is disappointing because there's so much potential for really good mother-daughter funny stuff. And Goldie Hawn is fine in this, but the way she is written, she's more of the straight man, more of the nothing character. Mm-hmm. That didn't need to be Goldie Hawn. That part was written to be any actress who's older than Amy Schumer.
I mean, that's what I was most excited about. I was like, oh my gosh, Goldie Hawn, this could be an amazing pairing. That's like that's where you think, and it's just like, all right.
Yeah, and she's
Goldie
Hawn,
she had some moments, some like tiny moments, but otherwise it is Amy Schumer's, and
it's not,
thankfully,
it's just not written. It's just not written for the mom.
Yeah. And it's a good thing that the big moments, the moments that they're really trying to land a laugh, in this comedy, that works.
There are a few really, really well-executed visual gags. By the way, the director is Jonathan Levine, who is a legit director. He first came on the scene with a movie called All the Boys Love Mandy Lane years ago, which then was famous for being delayed and not released forever and ever. Horror movie. Then he made The Whackness, which was a pot comedy. He made 50-50, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, cancer dramedy.
I loved that movie.
Me too. Yeah. And then The Night Before, a couple years ago, with whoever
which
that was.
Which you still haven't seen.
Which I have not seen.
Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and, oh gosh, what's his name? He's
Anthony Mackie.
Yes.
And Jonathan Levine, who knows how to direct, and he does a good job here of setting up some really funny gags and generally keeping things moving. It's very simple. It goes exactly where you think it's going to go, which is going to come down to you got to love your mom and you got to grow up and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Thankfully, Wanda Sykes, Joan Cusack, and Christopher
Maloney yeah.
and Ike Barinholtz, all of them, in my opinion, raise the comedy a good bit in this film, and it's needed, and it's great.
Ike Barinholtz plays Amy Schumer's brother, who's like this mama's boy. Mama. He always says mama.
Oh, my gosh. It's so annoying, but so good. It's so annoying. Every time you hear it, you're just like, shut up.
Wanda Sykes and Joan Cusack are a couple of people at the resort in Ecuador who they're the fear mongers warning everybody, you know, don't leave the compound
or
whatever.
One of them's
Joan
warning.
Joan Cusack doesn't. And Joan Cusack, by the way,
so weird.
The star of this movie is Joan Cusack's agent, who got her third billing. It goes Amy Schumer, Goldie Hawn, Joan Cusack. She's probably eighth or ninth in terms of screen time, and she has no lines.
None.
Which is part of the character. But yeah, that is amazing. Good for you, Joan Cusack. Get that third billing.
And Maloney is – that's probably my MVP.
When Chris Maloney shows up, that's when you think, oh, okay, this is going to be funny. This is here he is now. He plays this wannabe Indiana Jones kind of roguish adventurer who's going to save these ladies down there in Ecuador.
And just
very
like some of
character.
His reveals and some of the moments that he yeah.
Very good.
It's really funny. And so, yeah, it's weird because it does feel like they're trapped in a formula, and it feels like there's not a lot of like it feels like it's not a mother-daughter movie per se, even though that's of course the whole point you would think of this thing.
But the
jokes work.
The jokes
so there you go. If you want to laugh, you see this movie. Period.
It's funny. It is rated R. It's not super filthy. They didn't go all the way with the raunchy stuff.
But
no, it's got its moments. But it's not.
It definitely has some moments.
Yeah,
and even some violence with those moments.
There is some funny violence. Yeah, I give Snatched a B.
I guess seven. It's a seven for me, yeah. Snatched is a seven.
B's and sevens. That's what we are today. B's and sevens. And another little movie that I saw that you didn't. Ha ha.
Why'd you see this movie?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question and I won't respond to it. It's called The Lovers. The Lovers. Remember Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch? The Lovers. With my lover and I. That's what I think when I hear The Lovers. This is like, don't let this oversell it, but it's like a Shakespearean comedy. Then you soaked it in some Woody Allen. It's very, very witty and urbane and sophisticated. And did I say sophisticated? I believe I did.
I didn't hear it.
Sophisticated and well acted and slightly problematic.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. It's you got Deborah Winger and Tracy Letts, who maybe you don't know his name, but you'll recognize him. They are a married couple, Mary and Michael. They're unhappy.
They're both having affairs, and they're both secretly planning to leave the other one as soon as their son is done visiting home from college. So their son goes back to college, they're going to both plan to leave each other. And they're, who they're seeing, by the way, Deborah Winger is with Aidan Gillen from The Wire. He was also in King Arthur as one of the guys.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
Mm-hmm. And then Tracy Letts, his girlfriend is Melora Walters, who I know that name. I can't think what she's been in. Anyway, so they're both cheating on each other and planning to leave each other. And then while they're waiting for the opportunity, wouldn't you know it, they start to fall back in love with each other.
Oh.
And so soon they are sneaking around on their paramours to sneak around and be with each other. So they're secretly sneaking around and cheating on your mistress to fool around with your wife, that kind of thing.
I like
and,
it.
And yeah, so there's a writer-director named Azazel Jacobs, and I kind of have to feel like he must have been in an adulterous relationship at some point, because it seems very well-tuned to the ins and outs of it. And it's a fun, it's a light script that goes through all the lies and the alibis that go along with it. But the main performances, Deborah Winger and Tracy Letts, both terrific, and they do such a great job playing their characters' mixed emotions. Because you could play this just for laughs, and there are laughs in it, but the movie really wants to focus on how this would actually feel. They are both legitimately in love with these other people, with their extramarital partners. And so it's not as simple as, oh, well, I've fallen back in love with my spouse, I'm going to stick in the marriage, because they really do love these other people. And so we see the mixed emotions in their faces. There's lots of scenes where there's some music and some montage, and there's not a lot of talking, but we can see the actors, see the characters reflecting and realizing and deciding things without necessarily spelling it out. And there's other scenes that lets them talk and be kind of coy. It's a great scene where it seems like they're almost admitting to each other that they are cheating on each other, but not quite. There's sort of almost an understanding there. This is a really overall enjoyable little comedy, and then the way that it is resolved is unexpected, but it suits the characters. It's not what I want for the characters, but it suits them. It's kind of
satisfying for the story, but not for you.
Kind of like that. But I do like it, and it's very recommendable movie with these really good grown-up performances by these good actors. And the other, not just Tracy Letts and Deborah Winger, but the other two are good as well. And I give The Lovers a B+.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I'll have to see it then to see if it's BS approved.
Right.
Now, this director, Jacobs, he did a movie called Terry in 2011.
Yes, that's right, Terry, with about the fat kid who was friends with John C.
John
Reilly.
John C. Reilly?
I remember that movie.
You saw it?
Yeah.
I did not.
Did you not?
I thought we... No.
Okay.
This does not look familiar at all to me.
I'm confusing it with another movie about John C. Reilly and a kid.
Oh.
That was Cyrus.
Hill.
Cyrus. Okay, yes. Yeah. No, Terry was a good movie. I forgot that was the same director. Yeah.
I'll have to remember to never get around to watching that sometime.
Yeah, good call.
That's what I'm good at.
There aren't really any new DVDs out this week, just 50 Shades Darker.
Yeah.
That's not a good movie. You don't need to see that.
No. But you know what? Mm-hmm. We have a giveaway.
Giveaway for next week. For next week, another movie that's not good that comes out.
But now, hang on a second. You can't say that.
I haven't seen it. I don't know. I didn't see XXX Return of Xander Cage.
This is a movie that you're going to want to watch with a couple of people.
A couple specific people?
Just to see the absurdity on there. Like, it's one of those where you can, like, give each other a glance and be like, what the heck is going on?
All right.
This is silly, stupid, kind of almost fun, but weird, and I don't know.
Well, the point is we're giving away a copy, so I guess I shouldn't downsell it. Hey,
who wants a copy of this
probably really, really fun, awesome movie, XXX Return of Xander Cage? If you are one of our agents, you are eligible for this drawing. Just send us an email and say you want to be considered for XXX Return of Xander Cage.
We'll think about it.
We'll choose one at random.
And if you aren't an agent and you want to be an agent, then go to moviebs.com and click on that thing that says become an agent or something like that.
Do what it tells you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
What it comes down to is joining our Patreon and being one of the people who sponsors us in that fashion. And thank you to all of our agents. We got several more in the last week or so. So thank you. I think people are waiting for the first of the month because Patreon charges you on the first of the month. So if you join on, like, the 2nd, it'll be almost a month before you get charged, and by that time you'll have forgotten you've been signed up. So, like, now, early in the month is the time to do it, and then because then it's like you didn't do it at all, and you won't even notice.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So, our email address, by the way, is moviebspdx@gmail.com.
Oh, speaking of that email address, we want to do a mailbag on occasion. We've talked about it before. So if you have any questions, movie-related or otherwise, about our lives, about our taste, about anything at all, anything you want to hear a little bit more about, maybe, you know, like 3 to 5 minutes, I don't know, email us at moviebspdx.com.
You know? That's not the address.
Whatever
our address is, send it there, yes. We've asked before, Jeff really wants to do this segment on the show.
I do, I like this segment.
I like the idea, too. The fact that we've asked many times for questions and not gotten any questions makes me think that maybe people don't have any questions.
I don't think we've asked many times. We have gotten some questions.
We've asked several times and gotten a few questions.
Maybe I'll put it on our Facebook.
All right.
Maybe I'll do that. I don't know.
You know, we really ought to have some theme music for the Summer Box Office Challenge. So when it's time to update it, we'd have a little jingle or something.
Do you know anybody that, like, I don't know, plays piano or anything like that?
Uh-uh. I can look around. I gotta say...
What about any mirrors? Do you have any mirrors in the house?
No. Can't risk it.
I'm trying to hint that you could do it.
So what I gotta say, are you ready to concede?
No!
Let me lay it out here, because so far, I have $146.5 million, and Jeff...
Hang on, let me add my... No, I was going to add mine up.
I did it for you. You have nothing. You haven't even shown up. So it's $146 million to nothing at the moment.
That's right. And guess what?
Hmm.
I'm kind of feeling good about it.
Well, all right. We'll see what happens.
Okay. I'm okay with that Guardians dollar amount. I'm fine with it.
I'm just looking at the proportion there. $146 million to nothing. That's a very hard deficit to come back from. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. And this weekend will only bolster by a little bit your number. I'm really curious about this weekend for you because you have King Arthur and Snatch. Snatched was one of your second to last pick.
Yeah.
But here's my hunch.
Hmm.
King Arthur, $25 million or less. Snatched, $15 million or less.
Maybe.
How do you feel about that? If that happens, are you content?
Well, no, of course I would like those numbers to be higher.
Well, what do you think they should be? Like, when you were drafting, what was your hope?
I think I would... King Arthur, I was thinking, might be a bigger hit, like a 40 million. And Snatched has the possibility of being a breakout comedy hit, what with that Amy Schumer. Now I realize it's sort of in the position as Hot Pursuit a couple years ago, that Reese Witherspoon. Remember that comedy?
I feel like it's
in the same spot, and that bombed.
You had that one.
That's why I remember it.
That movie. Oh, I hate that movie so much.
I'm hoping for the Amy Schumer draw.
I don't know if there is one anymore. I'm not sure.
We'll find out.
I guess we will. We'll have to wait.
Yeah. You know I have no interest in conversations about things that might happen.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's why I like making you...
have to talk about it
a little bit because you're like, but I'd rather not say. But it's like, well, because
I don't care. It's silly to speculate on what's going to happen. Let's just wait and see what happens.
Care, but you know that thinking and talking about it does nothing for your caring.
Right, it does nothing for it, and I can't affect it. And I'm, yeah. Why get all worked up about certain possibilities when in like 3 days we're going to find out the answer? Let's just wait and see what the answer is. You know?
Have you guys met my friend Killjoy?
And that's the end of the show. That's everything we got.
We gave you all we had.
Mm-hmm. Here's what we learned on today's show. We learned that King Arthur and Snatched are both pretty good.
Yeah.
Both pretty fun.
Like, if it's both of the movies are, if you're thinking about going, then you should go. That's what both of the movies are.
If they look like something you will enjoy, you are probably right. Yes.
Right.
And I think you and I are both, I think we're in the minority on both of those. I know King Arthur. Yeah, Snatched not doing so well either. We're in the minority for liking those. So good for us. Look how great we are.
And we're great.
The Lovers is also good. Good grown-up comedy entertainment.
I'll find out one day.
No, you won't.
I might.
Sure. We'll see what happens. Let's just wait and see what happens. No sense speculating.
No, let's talk about if I'm going to see it or not.
If you're an agent and you would like to maybe win a copy of XXX Return of Xander Cage, let us know. If you're not an agent, become one.
Yeah, there's still time. We will choose our winner on May 18th, Thursday, May 18th.
And remember, once we get up to 100, not necessarily 100 agents, but $100 a month, we start doing a second show. We start doing a second weekly show of bonus stuff about whatever. So keep that long, the end game in mind. Anyway, you have anything else you want to say?
Nah, I'm good.
All right. Well, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.
Her boyfriend dumps her just as they were about to go on a trip to South America, and...
Are you?
Yes.
Can I please have more food?
You need more snack?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come say hi to Eric.
Okay. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Dylan. How are you?
Good.
Hungry? Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah. See if Dad will give you some more food.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Sorry.